break. Won't you open your Bibles to the book of Luke this morning? Book of Luke, chapter 21. And I am going the direction somewhat of what we're all involved in and what's in the news and what's going on currently. I'm going to speak to you on the subject, the most serious virus. And we'll have some things to say about it. We're taking a passage that has to do with a warning to us that Jesus is coming soon. But some questions have been raised to me. Could the pestilence, and that's what a flu bug or any kind of bug is, we've had them, of course, before, and could that be a sign, or should it warn us that some of this pestilence that's predicted in the end times, in the tribulation period in particular, could this be one of them? Yes, it could. Sure, it could. And if it is, I do not like to tell you this, but there'll be more to follow. There'll be more to follow in the force over with. Luke 21, I want you to start reading with me, and I'm just going to read in verse 5 through 11. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, Jesus said now, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come into which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That is history, that part. Verse 7, it has happened, AD 70 under Titus the Roman emperor. Verse 7, they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. And folks, you ought to underline this be not terrified business. Be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation. Have you noticed how even this current flu bug is dividing nations? Then it's not just war, but I mean the coronavirus. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines. And here it is, pestilences. And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. I'm going to stop there, but great earthquakes, they've almost taken the back row seat, but they're still in the news. They're still in the news. And notice listed with them is this thing of pestilence or disease. We could be getting a little taste, a little warning. I said to Sunday school this morning, would you ever thought the day would have come so quickly that folks would be telling you not to come to church? I can't bring myself to say that to people. All the years I've been saying come, I still believe the answer's there in God's house and God's word and what God had to say about everything. That's where the answer is. But the end time signs, that's in the context here. It is the tribulation, which is mainly given to the Jews. But well, what's important, if we're seeing signs that are going to finish off in the trib, how much closer are we to seeing God's beloved church called up to be with him? The tribulation period is Jeremiah's day of trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. And this thing is serious. Don't get me wrong. I'm serious about it. But I'm serious about knowing the one that can take care of it, too. You see, history of viruses go a long way back. In 1918 and 1919, what was called the Spanish flu after World War I came into America. I had relatives that died in that. I grew up as a kid hearing the stories of the family of the ones that were so sick, and some of them died, and some of them made it through what was called then the Spanish flu. It was an awful thing. When trains would come into the depots, into the stations, the first thing would people had to meet them out there and take the dead out of the trains. Sometimes the bodies were stacked up so long they decayed. They were stacked up in burial grounds, and the government and the people were asking for volunteers to dig holes, and some of them were literally buried in mass graves. It was a terrible, terrible time. World War I travel around the world began more so than it ever had before. And soldiers worldwide, there was a third infected in the whole wide world. India had 17 million deaths. And in America, we had close to a 500,000. That's 500,000, folks. We're talking about a few years ago, 1918, 1919. The death rate was great. It was 20%. More people were killed by the bug than by the battles in World War I. That's a terrible, terrible thing. That 500,000 that died, most of them were younger folks or military age, that sort of thing. But as they came home, they brought it to others. And so while this is serious, we have survived it before. Even worse, and a much greater death rate and spread and so forth. Now, here's the questions. I know the current news, you know it. So the questions comes, what about now? What can be done? What can we do now? And I'm going to give you some statements here, and maybe a little information, I hope. To begin with, we ought to use real common sense. Now, the Bible talks about having a sound mind and real common sense. Now, listen, you're going to hear all kind of foolishness. And back in the Spanish flu, they said if you'd carry a potato in your pocket or if you'd eat raw onions. Now, listen to me. That might have kept the 6-foot distance. You understand what I'm saying? But it didn't cure the flu. It didn't cure the Spanish flu. Some of them believed in having a rag around your neck all the time with camphor on it. Now, I don't know about that. Again, that would keep your 6-foot rule probably working pretty good. But they had, listen, superstition is one thing. Sometimes there's a home remedy that works here or there. But don't believe everything that you hear. And especially now, we've come to this time of social media where lies are promoted and invented and sometimes on purpose. And I told the Sunday school class this morning how I used to set a circle of young people around in a building and start off with a printed statement with number one and let them repeat it all around the circle, whisper it to each other. And by the time it got to the end, it didn't even seem like the same thing. And we're still doing that, only we're doing it with cell phones. We're doing it, we're online. We're doing it with the media. And that's a ridiculous thing. Let me tell you what a sound mind would be, and that is, common sense tells you to practice cleanliness. America is a clean nation compared to others. If you don't believe it, do a little bit of traveling. Go over to India, and I could name a lot of other places. And a lot of our clean habits in America come from the Old Testament Jewish commands that was given to them. The hygiene that they were to practice, the laws of what to eat and what not to eat. Clean and unclean animals. You ever read the book of Leviticus? You say, well, that's under the law. We need anything by grace. Yeah, but you're not always smart to eat it. You're not always wise to eat it. Let me just jump on that a little bit. They say that this virus started in the animals over in China and made the jump to humans. When I was a kid around here, we would go rabbit hunting. Different than it was up north. Up north, you had the snow. You could track the rabbit in the snow. And when you got him, he was already freezer prepared. He was frozen. Close. Down here, that was not the case. We didn't know a whole lot of difference in summer and winter, but we were warned about the rabbits carrying, on occasions, they would carry, I won't describe it for you, but they would carry a disease that if you were going to eat them, you had to be careful not so much in eating them. Once you cooked them, they were all right. But while you were preparing them and dressing them, if you had a spot on your hand or something, if you cut yourself, you could get infected because of that particular thing. The weather didn't get cold enough to kill it off. And so that did happen to a few folks. And that's exactly what's happening in some of the foreign lands as they butcher or use or prepare unclean, biblically unclean stuff. And the infection is moved from the animal kingdom to the human kingdom, so to speak. Jews in the Old Testament were warned all the way through the book of Leviticus what to eat and what not. In China, where this thing supposedly started, I don't know if I could say it, but Wuhan province there where it was, they say that about 5 million immediately fled to the rest of the world with it, maybe with it. They left 9 million behind. And we don't know if they had food to eat or whatever. Some of them were quarantined later by force. It was a bad, bad situation, but many of them did leave. It did start in China, and the president is not racist when he calls it a Chinese flu. Didn't we call it the Hong Kong flu a few years ago? Didn't we call it the swine flu? Did anybody apologize to the swine? Right? So all this charges is foolish stuff. Yes, that's a good title for it. That's where it started. That's where it was covered up. And yes, we are reaping, and the whole world is reaping for that early beginning there. No doubt about it. That's true. But some of the eating habits in the area where it was started, you and I would almost gag over. Would you like to eat bats? Oh, yeah. They even have videos out on them eating bats. Bats are disease carriers first class. Have you ever looked at a bat? He looks like a mouse with wings, only he's dirtier than the mouse. Much dirtier. And can you imagine having bat soup? That's right. And even some of the wealthier people eat stuff you wouldn't believe. Can you believe having a cockroach farm on purpose? Farming, growing cockroaches, at least 100 of them over there. 100, we'll call them farms, producing cockroaches. And you'd be surprised that even some of the wealthy consider that okay. I'm talking about, as you read the Old Testament and the dietary laws given to the Jews, said no to all that stuff. And I want to say to you, we would still be well to practice. Don't get me wrong, I still love ham. But I sure want it cooked good. and like with the rabbits I was talking about, you, the more dangerous in dressing and preparing that stuff, most of after it's cooked, maybe it's safe. But somebody's got to go through getting it ready, amen? But when it comes to eating, can you believe, how would you like to go into a restaurant and order some maggot soup? You can do that in China. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm not against the Chinese people. I'm just telling you there's some stuff that's behind this thing. Amazing. Magnets? You don't want me to describe where they come from, do you? Now, the Jewish laws were 1,000 years ahead. You read some of these medical folks say, well, they practiced this in Egypt. No, they were dumb down there. And God called his people out, and he told them he'd put all the diseases on them that he was putting on the Egyptians. I told you that last week. And the truth is, he called them out of that. And the Jewish dietary laws that came with them were very, very important. The Jews knew about germs before Louis Pasteur ever proved it scientifically. It's how you know. Because they were told, and Moses told them, that the cleaning had to be from running water. Running water runs over your hands, takes it off. Put it in a bowl, and you just wash the germs and keep them as you leave. Didn't know that? Amen.
That's why you watch the surgeons preparing for surgery today, and they spend a lot of time with the running water over their hands, and that running antiseptics and all of that. That's very wise, and that's very right to do. The Encyclopedia Britannica said the Old Testament was a mine of information when it come to cleanliness. Oh, yes, very, very true. Moses knew about germs on the hands because he's the one instituted the running water. Louis Pasteur come along and told him about the microorganisms that was on the outside the body, not on the inside, while then the surgeon could do a surgery and yet the patient would get infected and die, and he wondered why. But it was because his own dirty hands full of germs was bringing the infection. Now, I'm not trying to give you a health lesson. I'm just giving you some background here. Let me also say the Jews were given moral laws. So what's that got to do with it? Same thing we're reaping in America right now from the sex perverts. AIDS came through that. You heard me say it so many times. It was named GERDS to start with because the G in front of it stood for gays. Then it got politically incorrect to point out the truth, like it is in so many areas. You can't tell the truth. And the truth is that dirty practice, most of you, and I can't talk to a mixed audience and tell you, but I want to tell you, homosexuality, men with men, women with women, but especially men with men, goes a lot further than a kiss on the lips. The dirty practice that they have spreads the disease. Spreads it everywhere. And so, as bad as the coronavirus is, it's not like AIDS was. Do you remember? AIDS was so final, and it still is final today. Still is. They've got cocktails of drugs that keep some of them alive a lot longer, but it's still a fatality almost every time that somebody gets a case of AIDS. I've gone right here in our county and sit and listen to the health officials talk, and another preacher and myself, Brother Dr. Bufflin, we went down there, we heard it, and we saw the medical lecture on it, we saw the pictures and everything else, and I've said this to young people, you want to know what to wear to keep from getting AIDS? Listen to me. You want to know, young people, what to wear to keep from getting AIDS? I'm wearing it right now. It's called a wedding band. Amen. Amen. And I tell you what, sex outside of marriage, sex in this homosexual community today, yes, the innocent die with it because it gets spread just like the flu or anything else, but it's a dirty, filthy practice that goes on that God condemns and even condemned to the place that he condemned it with the death penalty in the Bible. And the wages of sin is still death. It still is. You know, what's the question? Well, use some common sense. Go by God's laws. Go by his morality. Go by what he teaches. And what's the method of treatment? Well, the Jews were right again. There was a disease called leprosy. You read about it in the Bible? You remember how that one that had leprosy had to holler unclean? Because it could spread. But for years and years, until about 1873, before the doctors actually woke up to the fact that leprosy was spread by an infectious bug, not just by the genes inherited. It's not hereditary. They finally learned that, but Moses knew it all the time. And the practice that Moses wrote, God gave him to write in the Bible, was the answer. You know what they did with the leprosy? The first thing they did, they sent a fellow to the priest to see the priest would examine to see if the white spot or whatever it was really leprosy. So the first thing that they did over there was confirm it was so. If it was so, then they contained the individual and they confined them, and you have the leper colonies all over the world where they were separated. But that's the way they stopped it. It was spreading worldwide. They're real bad at one time. Back in the 1800s, it was beginning to spread through Europe. In Vienna, Austria, some of the churchmen
went back to the Leviticus rules and records to the Jews and put this into practice. So when the ships from another place would come into port, they would make them stay out in the ocean there, and they would quarantine them, as it were, for 40 days, confine them until they were sure they didn't have it, and then they let them come on into the port. That is still what is going on today. When President Trump put a ban on travel from China, he was 100% right. And all the liberals fussing about it, he was right to do that. It'll prove in the long run that he was right. Now, what can we do? Use common sense, practice the cleanliness of the Bible, and then we can pray. And don't sell prayer short. God still wants to hear from us about our problems and our challenges and our fears. We sang some good songs this morning about trusting God. Do we really? Do we really believe he's capable, that he's able? What about this? We've known of missionaries that went into leper colonies, and yet God made them immune. And while I was not of her religion, there was an older woman called Mother Teresa. Remember her? She went into Calcutta and all the bad places, the leper colonies, and treated the worst of the worst. And yet she lived and lived and lived. So was God using her? Perhaps he was. Was he protecting her? Perhaps he was. Method of treatment? Do everything we can that's wise. But don't forget God. Take it to him in prayer. And then let me say this. While we need to practice common sense and biblical knowledge, we also need to resist mob fear. All this stuff online is not true, folks. There's stuff being invented. There's a crowd out there that wants to use it and are using it. The fear has risen above the facts. The death rate of this thing is so much lower than so many others. Now, it is contagious, and it is to be taken serious, but it's low. And some of the old medicines, and the president got fussed at again because he repeated what is true, and that is that some of the malaria medicines and drugs are working on this thing, and the big hospital in New York has been using them already and with great results. I'm talking about stuff that can be bought off the shelf. Now, we're hoping for a vaccine. We're hoping for a breakthrough, and we're praying that way. But I also want to say this. There is an element that don't want a silver bullet. There's an element out there that wants to use this crisis. Did you ever hear of Rahm Emanuel, who was the assistant up there when Barack Obama was president? Do you remember his statement? His statement was, never let a good crisis go to waste. You remember that? Well, this one's being used too. You better understand it's being used. And there's an element that would destroy this country just to get themselves back in power, is what it amounts to. Resist the mob fear. I said it to you last week. The peace that passeth all understanding, we ought to be demonstrating as God's people. No, we're not flipping about it. We understand. We take it serious. But listen, we've got a great physician we can talk to above everybody else. And we got faith in him. And listen, if it's God's will for Mickey Carter to die of the coronavirus, I'm willing to go the way God wants me to go. He is one day going to call my number. I hope it's in the rapture, but if it's not, it'll still be all right because he's in charge. Now, help yourself. I believe that with all my heart. Let me say, we ought to resist mob fear. We ought to recognize there is a worse virus. Oh, yeah. It's not AIDS. It's not corona. The worst virus has already infected the whole world and has infected it for a long time. It has a 100% death rate. The worst virus does. Man has no antidote. He has no vaccine. No, he has no answer. The coronavirus can take you to the grave, but this worst virus can destroy you beyond the grave. Yes. Yes.
the coronavirus and others like it started in the world, and they'll be treated by everything the world can do. But this worst virus found no treatment in this world. It had to have a treatment from another world. It had a treatment from a perfectly clean world, an uncontaminated world. And the messenger that came from that world was uncontaminated. He'd never been infected. He'd never sinned. He was a sinless Son of God that came from another world with the answer to the worst virus that ever existed. A worldwide virus, one that could take you to hell beyond the grave. And that was Jesus. You know that. God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, yes. He came with a silver bullet for sin. You know, I've read stories, and you have too, of some brave doctors, real heroes, in fighting a disease like the coronavirus and worse. In times past, trying to find a vaccine, trying to find a cure, they purposely infected themselves. And there's some talk now about one of the answers being maybe plasma or something from one that has had it and got over it. Some truth to that, no doubt, medically. But I've read about heroic doctors that infected themselves to try to find a cure, find an answer. And some of them died because of doing so. But I want to tell you about one that came and became sin for us. Took our sin on him and went to the cross of Calvary and paid the death penalty for you and I, that we could go free and live forever. Of course, that was Jesus. That was Jesus. The worst virus is sin. The greatest answer is Jesus. He's the only answer. He's the one that after some disease or accident or something else takes you to the grave, he can take over from there and defeat death and the grave and hell and the whole thing and make you live on the other side as though you never, never had sinned at all. Isn't that a wonderful truth to know? Let's don't mix up this virus with the worst virus. The worst virus is man has a sin problem. And the only answer is the sinless one from heaven that became sin for us, to purchase for us eternal life. I would say to you this morning, if you went to the doctor and the doctor said, yes, you've got the coronavirus, and yes, it looks like it's terminal, and if another doctor came in the room and said, but here's the cure, would you take it? I'm sure you would. Well, I want to tell you, you've got something worse than the coronavirus if you've never received Christ as your Savior. And he is the answer. Will you take him? Will you take him? Will you receive him as Lord and Savior? Out in Radio Land, do you know what I'm talking about? Are you saved? Have you received the Lord Jesus that paid for your sins, that can write your name in heaven, can give you a guarantee while you walk around and breathe now, whether well or sick, that heaven's your home? And death is coming to everybody one way or the other. And if Jesus don't come for us first, we're all going through death, but Jesus is right there to take us across. Is he yours? Have you ever received him? He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. You know, if there's a breakthrough, if there's a silver bullet, if there's a vaccine, there'll be a lot of people wanting to be first in line for it, and there'll be a lot of people who can never get it. But Jesus is for everyone. Whosoever, whosoever, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. This morning in this building, out in Radio Land, wherever you might be seeing or listening, Jesus will come in. If you'll let him, I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we pray for the folks here in the room, not near as many, Lord, as we've saw last week and week before and week before, but some here, and Father, some at home, some maybe listening in a car radio or somewhere else, some watching online. I don't know, Lord, but you do. And I pray for them right now. I pray they'd make sure they've received the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the answer, the only answer for the greatest virus of all, the one that pays off every time in death. I pray for them to receive and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they could be saved right now. I pray you'd bless here in the auditorium, that people would leave their seat if they've never received Christ and come forward and receive him today. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. We invite you to come. I'll meet you at the front. Will you come and say, "Preacher, I want to receive Christ, the one that can take me after something else takes me to the grave." Will you come? Come on as we sing.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
Will you come? Will you come?
And that thou bidst.
If you don't know for sure, now's the time to know. How much more has God got to do to warn this old planet Earth that some things are ahead to face? My friend, you need to face them with Jesus. You can't face them alone. You can't win without him. Circumstances of these last number of days, it's very likely that online and on the radio, we probably had the opportunity this morning to speak to more people than we normally do, maybe quite a few more. We always have some that are listening online, even out of state and on the mission field and other places. And we praise the Lord for that. But dear friend, if you tuned in maybe for the first time, maybe because of the circumstances, I see God's providence in that for you. You say, what good could come out of a contagious virus like this? Well, some folks could get saved because of it. Some folks got saved because of 9/11. Could be the Lord said, hey, let me interrupt you a minute, get you to hear something. Maybe what you heard this morning, Jesus is the answer. Don't fear just what man can do to the body. He warned about that, but he said, fear the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. And that's not Satan, that's God. That's God. I don't know all that God's going to do with this thing. It may be a test to see who will turn to him. It even may be a warning to some that have been trying to dethrone him, especially in America. God is long-suffering and merciful. He don't want anybody to die. He gives everybody more than one chance. But it is times that we ought to awake. We ought to wake up. We sure ought to. If you know some folks that'll got some questions, maybe you can give them some answers. And you can tell them about the cure to the most evil and greatest virus of all, and that's the virus of sin that's infected everybody. And Jesus is the only cure. Amen. Let's share that, folks. It is a time. I believe we can let our faith, time and opportunity to give us an open door to share our faith, maybe like we've never had before. I do thank you for coming this morning, because we had to have some folks here to have a service that we could put over the air to others. And I believe God's going to take care of us. Amen. I really do. I haven't been myself, but driving through town, I've seen some long lines even outside the bank. I guess folks lining up outside the bank. I kind of wonder about that. They're still pretty close together out there in the line, whether it's outside or in. I mean, I wonder about some of the inventions men bring along, you know. They tell me Walmart's had some lines and stuff. And I understand that. But it also shows us human nature. And it's not a good picture sometimes. I've often joked about the ladies when they were having, what is it, Black Friday sales? Is that what they call it? I can't remember what they call it. But I've seen some things on TV where you don't want me to describe them. Fighting each other over who's going to get the bargain first. Human nature is not a pretty thing sometimes. But when it comes to spiritual side of it, boy, we need to wake up, don't we? Don't we? All right. I appreciate you coming. Yeah, we're going to have church tonight. Amen. And Wednesday night. Amen. And like I said, if the authorities come and close the doors, we'll come in the back door. Amen. And if they close that one too, we'll go out on the parking lot and preach. Amen. So I won't come, but there's a few squirrels in the trees out there. We'll preach anyhow, amen? Okay.